we're gonna dive into the 5 mindset shifts that you need to make drool-worthy videos. The first mindset shift deals with vulnerability, allowing yourself to be vulnerable through this process of making your videos. And I understand that this can be a really, really tough place to work from because we generally don't want to put our vulnerability out there for everyone to see. So it's important for you to keep in mind that while it's good to protect yourself when you're going through this learning process, it's great to let it go. And really what this is about is your inner perfectionist is trying to keep up the image of who you are, so that you always appear a certain way to the public eye. I mean, yeah, we don't want to show off all of our warts and everything that we're going through at any given period of time, but it is important through this specific process that you allow yourself to be open to your own vulnerability. And vulnerability can come in a lot of different forms. It could come from just simply putting a video up in the group and saying, ah, here I am. I totally understand how when you get in front of that camera and you're looking into that lens, that it feels like everybody is looking at you, that the whole world can see into you, your life, everything you've been through, and that they're looking at you and that they may be judging you. I know that I've definitely stepped into the room as an on-camera person, and I've felt so vulnerable. The key to vulnerability is to use it. It's not to hide from it. When you hide from your own vulnerability, what you end up doing is essentially shutting down every other part of yourself. So if you consider vulnerability as a bit of a faucet, when you shut down that faucet of vulnerability, it does not allow your emotions to flow through easily. When you have it wide open and it's gushing, you know, you're vulnerable, I'm so vulnerable, like the emotions and everything is just flowing through and it's all out of control. So there's a sweet spot in there where it's a cross between wearing your heart on your sleeve all the time and kind of freaking people out and that stoic, like, you're not gonna see any part of me. And in that sweet spot is this place where you're both strong and vulnerable at the same time. And why is vulnerability so important? Well, vulnerability is essentially the key, the window that your tribe is gonna start to connect to you on. It's that place where you're being authentic, you're being real, and they can feel that there's a real person behind there, not someone who's pristine and perfect and stoic and untouchable, unattainable. When you show some of your vulnerability, it's a place where your tribe will really start to connect with you. Out of your vulnerability can come your humor, can come your love, can come your playfulness, your excitement for what you're doing. Only when you allow yourself to be vulnerable can that stuff actually come out. Otherwise, you're forcing it. If you've made the decision like, I am not going to reveal who I am to people at all, what happens is a bit of a dehumanization of you. And what it does is it just leaves people out in the cold and they just kind of go, who's this person who, you know, they don't get a real sense of who you are. It leads to things like being robotic, protecting yourself in any way possible, shrinking yourself in front of the camera, ironically, in order to not be seen. It's these defense mechanisms that kick in because you're feeling that vulnerability and you just want to hide yourself. But I'll tell you what, in your vulnerability lies so much beauty. When I'm directing someone on set, it's the vulnerability that I'm looking for. I'm not looking for somebody to come in and be perfect. In fact, I never ever cast people who come in and have perfect auditions or who are perfect subjects in documentaries. I want people who can show me who they are in some way, shape, or form. We don't need to know everything, but in this group, in this class, this is a place where you can start to reveal parts of yourself. It's better that you get a little vulnerable in this group than out there in the world. So dare to be vulnerable. Dare to show us a bit of who you are. Dare to be authentically you and bold and brave and amazing. Another place where people may feel vulnerable is around their physical side or their personality, in that they feel too vulnerable to show what they look like to the world, to show their personality to the world, because they're afraid of being judged. And we have this wonderful thing called the internet, which opens up many windows, but can also expose you and your work to things such as trolls. In our course, it's a supportive community. So this is a place where you can start to peel back those layers and let us into your world a bit. And your dream clients, they don't care about how you look. They don't care about the size dress or pants that you wear. And what they want from you is help. What they want from you is for you to come in and fix their pain points, so to speak. What they want is to feel like they can trust you. And that trust comes from allowing yourself to be vulnerable. Next up, number 2 is dare to be bad. If you've been following me for a little bit, you may have heard me say this before, but in this course, we're going to be diving in a way that I have not done publicly and never will do publicly. This is just for you. So there's something so interesting that happens with video and the psychology of what you're going through when you're standing in front of that camera. One of those things is that we feel like we have to get it right. Now, I propose to you, if you haven't heard me say it before, is to dare to actually be bad. Now, I was in this director's course, several years ago, but I was out in the mountains in Banff in Canada, and I was with a select group of lady directors, and we were being given some extra special mentorship. It was fabulous. And it was interesting going around the circle, because at the very first day, we were asked to set our goals for this workshop. And everyone's going along and they're like, oh, I want to learn that XYZ of such and such a light, and I want to be able to, you know, direct my actors in such and such a way and play with the blah, 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 and experiment with yada, yada. And it was all around these really positive, great, worthy goals. When they got to me, I took a deep breath and then I said, my goal is to allow myself to fail. Now, they all thought I was crazy. Actually, the look around the table, everyone kind of looked at each other. They really did think I had lost my marbles a bit, I think, because here I was, this great opportunity in the mountains with this extraordinary crew of people, and my goal was to fail. So, yeah, they didn't quite understand it. But in my heart, what I understood was I needed to let go of some of the perfectionist in me that wanted to get things right, especially with videos, where you feel like you've got to get something perfect, that it's got to be great, and that you have to show and prove how amazing you are. And I just decided to throw all that out the window, and I just really wanted to give myself permission to try stuff, to experiment, to play, to have fun, to go in knowing that if I failed, it was okay, because it was actually my goal. So what that actually did was it set myself up mentally to let go of any preconceived notions I had of who I was as a storyteller, who I was as a director, that I wasn't being graded for this, you know, internally or externally. This was a place for experimentation. That's what I decided. This wasn't a place to show how great I was. It was a place to stretch my limits. So this is what this whole thing around Dare to Be Bad is about. It's about you stretching your limits and brushing aside the old perfectionist to make room for the mad scientist in you. You know, there's this thing in working out, you know, at the old gym. I mean, this is the on-camera boot camp, so I guess I should put a couple exercise metaphors in here for you. But there is something around the gym that, you know, when you're working your muscles out and you're, you know, pumping iron, doing your weight, lifting weights and stuff, what you actually want to do is you want to work that muscle past the point of feeling totally great about it, that you're actually a bit sore, that the muscle feels a little bit like upset with you for what you just did. But the point of that is that the muscle has to now build itself up again, and it's repairing things and it's doing its fancy dance, because it's at that point of feeling like it's failing a little bit, that the muscle itself is failing. And in this, you actually build stronger muscles because it's got to do some fancy pants work to build itself back up. Now, putting yourself out there on camera and getting to know how to make better videos for your business definitely incorporates this idea around working that muscle. Because if you're just playing it safe, and by safe, I mean never going past where you started as far as your on-camera presence is concerned, then it will show in every single video that you do, because you will have plateaued before you even started. Make sense? So when it comes to doing this video stuff, the only way to actually get better is to fail at it. And it's not comfortable. It's just like probably not what you want to hear, but time and time again on projects that I've worked on, myself, my own experiences in front of the camera, it's by pushing those limits of comfort, stepping outside that comfort zone and daring to make mistakes is where the magic actually starts to happen. And it's also the only place where growth happens, because very few people are born out of the womb knowing how to make videos of themselves and how to talk to the camera naturally and gracefully and full of pizzazz and joie de vivre, so to speak. So the only way to bust through your inner perfectionist and allow yourself to get better at doing this is to dare to be bad. So number three is a delightful little thing that I like to call comparisonitis. Comparisonitis is a horrible affliction that plagues many, many entrepreneurs around the world. And I will bet that you have been the victim of comparisonitis at some point in your entrepreneurial life. Comparisonitis is that thing where you look at what somebody else is doing and they are more advanced than you, or they're doing it better than you. And then you say to yourself, who am I to compare with that person? I am not as good as that person. Look at how great that person is. Wow, that person is so natural on the camera already. That person, wow, look how photogenic that person is. Oh my gosh, that person has got such great hair. How can I compare? Comparisonitis is it's a terrible, terrible affliction. And I know that I myself have been guilty of it. Not so much with the video stuff, but when I see people and they're doing like Instagram competitions and contests and they're rocking their social media marketing, and I'm like, damn you. I've done it, and I will guarantee everyone in this group has done it before. It's hard not to compare yourself to other people. I mean, it is kind of a natural thing that we do as humans, is we compare what that person has compared to what we have, or what we have to what that person has. It's something that has been ingrained in our system to understand our differences to other people as opposed to our similarities. So let's squash comparisonitis, or I highly encourage you to squash the comparisonitis in the group. Because if you're comparing your video journey to someone else's journey, you're actually taking power away from your own journey. If so-and-so is doing amazing, they're learning so quickly in the course, and you're like, I have a hard time even saying my name to the camera. You know what? It's all good. Everyone in this group will come in with different skills and talents that they're able to apply to making videos. So it's not about what that person can do, it's about what you can do. I'm always the person who sees how beautiful, insightful, wonderful, glorious, funny, crazy, quirky, marvelous that my entrepreneurs, my actors, my documentary participants have been. They sit in front of my camera and all I see is what's amazing about them, because it's my job to do so. It's my job to bring out their best. It's my job to see their strengths. As a director, my job is to push the weaknesses to the side. It's to bring out the strengths. So if you find yourself rocking the old comparisonitis in the group, I want you to stop and think about the things that are amazing about you. Because that's what I would be doing if I was directing you. If I had your camera and I was directing you for the practice videos that we're gonna make, I would be so encouraging and loving, and I would just pull out everything that's great about you. So if you're feeling down from comparisonitis, it's okay, like head on into the group and say, hey, I need a pep talk. I'm comparing myself to other people in the group. I'm feeling wonky. I need help with this mindset shift because it's taking over right now. Go ahead and do that. Like head into the group and let us know, because we will be your cheerleaders. Number four is to live in the present moment. There's this really, really funny thing that happens when people stand in front of the camera. They suddenly are put into a time warp in which their mind, body, spirit, heart, everything is either in the future or it's in the past. And here's what happens. When you're in the future, you're thinking about all the crazy, scary things that might happen by posting this video or even recording this video. Oh my gosh, what are people going to say? Oh my gosh, they're going to think my hair is crazy. Oh my goodness, they're not going to understand me. Wow, they're going to judge me. They're going to hate me. They're just going to like leave horrible messages. Then there's the lovely past, where this one is more of a, you're not necessarily thinking of it kind of thing, but you are definitely feeling it. So the past can come in a very subversive way, which is it just kind of hits you in your gut and you're not really sure why you're nervous. But generally speaking, it's like all the critiques that you've gotten from the past, people who have said that you, I don't know, should not shine, people who have said that you have a great face for radio, people who have made you feel small in your life, people who have hurt you in your life, who have judged you, who have misjudged you. All that information, unfortunately, we tend to store in our bodies. And this is what can come from the past when you're standing in front of the camera and you've got those butterflies and you're like, I should be able to relax, but I can't relax. What do I do? It's because you're not breathing properly, because you're being really weighed down by the past and by the future. So when I was in theater school several moons ago, one thing that we learned was this technique called repetition. And repetition sounds like a really, really easy game, and by principle it is easy, but execution of it gets increasingly harder the more you do it. Until, of course, you become a master at it, and then it's like not so hard anymore. But repetition essentially is this thing where you are standing, two actors get up in front of the class, and you stand face to face and you look at each other. And one person makes a very simple observation about the other person. So let's say the camera is another person and I'm me. The camera would look at me and say, "You're wearing a pink shirt." And then I'd repeat back, that's the name repetition, "I'm wearing a pink shirt." Then the other person, AKA camera in this case, would say, "Yeah, you have a pink shirt." And I'd say, "Yeah, I have a pink shirt." And this exercise, when done very, very well, can become an entire play just based on those words. Because what we're actually reading is behavior. And the behavior is coming from being in the moment, from living in this moment right now, taking in a person who is looking at me, looking into my heart, and throwing back at them what they are throwing to me, mirroring back what they're giving me. And what this exercise does is it brings people into the present moment. Remember what I said about when the camera is looking at us and all of a sudden we're like time warping and we're in the future or the past? Well, this repetition exercise was really designed to make us live in the present. And I'll tell you, it was really, really hard. It was so difficult because you could feel people watching you, and you feel really exposed, you feel really vulnerable, and you're like, I just wanna hide, like, get me out of here. But what it did was it taught us how to live in the present. So now, I'm not recommending for you to do the repetition exercise because it is a very long process that, I mean, I went to school for a couple years to really learn how to do it and how to live in the present moment. But for you, I want it to be a much more distilled process. So whenever you're standing in front of that camera and your mind is going in the future or in the past and you're feeling really wonky and you're just like, I feel so uncomfortable, I want you to do some simple exercises to get yourself into the present. So if you're standing in front of that camera and you're just like kind of falling apart and you're like, I feel crazy and I'm like in the future, I'm in the past, I don't know, my stomach's going nuts, take a break. Go for a walk. Go do something that you love. The secret to being where you are is to do things that help you live in the present moment. One way that you can address it is to actually tell the camera how you feel. Instead of just like, pardon my French, bullshitting the camera, just tell the camera how you feel. If you're like, I feel really scared. I am so nervous right now. I feel like my heart is flying outside of my chest. Like, just express it. Be in the moment, be in the present, be honest about how you're doing instead of pretending that everything is cool and copacetic. Because honestly, like the beads of sweat going down your face or the tension in your face will read anyhow. So this will go for any of the video adventures that I send you on, is you can trump any of them by being honest about how you're feeling. Anytime, any place, is just be honest about it. In the repetition exercise, you'd often see people get up, and I am so guilty of it. We'd get up and we'd be working with each other and pretending we're totally comfortable with this situation. Yeah, I'm so cool. I'm just like, whoo, boy, am I ever relaxed. And my old acting coach would look at us and she's like, you guys are full of it. Yeah, sit down, you guys are full of it. Or she would challenge us because we'd be sitting there trying to pretend like we're so slick and we are so experienced actors. And she would just say, like, can you just be honest about how you're feeling? Just be honest about how you're feeling. And eventually one person would kind of drop the act and stop pretending that we are so cool as cucumbers and just be like, I'm so freaking nervous. And the other person go, yeah, you're so freaking nervous. And all of a sudden it's an honest thing and people are, you know, getting excited and going, wow, there's something real happening now. You know, and it's the exact same with video. So any of these practice adventures that I give you, you can trump any of them by just being honest and saying, okay, this is how I'm doing today. I feel a little extremely nervous, you know, or I'm having an off day or whatever it is. Any of the video adventures, I will accept your truth of the moment, as we say, over any of the video topics I give you. Another way to help you with being in the present moment when it comes to being on camera making videos is to change your focus. So if your focus is up on the summit of this mountain that you're climbing called Video Mountain, I want you to kind of take your gaze away from there and just focus at your feet, because that's where we are right now. I don't want you thinking like, oh yeah, well, I have to make the most perfect videos and it has to be amazing and it has to be this and it has to look like that and blah, blah, blah. No, 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 that will come later. Right now, in order to be where you are, to live in the present moment, look at your feet, look at the steps that I'm giving you and focus on those, okay? Because overwhelm is a very real thing when it comes to videos, and it comes from not living in the present moment. It comes from thinking you have to be 40 steps down the road when actually you need to be at the step you're at right now. Last but not least, number 5 is don't try to please everyone. Right? Okay. People pleasers in the house are gonna be like, what right now? And I am a bit of a people pleaser myself. So I understand, but it's really important for you to understand that you cannot please everyone. It's impossible. And when it comes to making videos, this can come in the form of acting in a certain way, behaving in a certain way because you think more people are gonna like it. Behaving in a way that is not authentic to you because you think more people are gonna like it. Doing what so-and-so did because it worked really well, but you're not being true to your own unique voice. Now think about it. I know you're probably like, wait, Sarah, but I just don't want the haters. I want, like, I speak to everybody. Everyone should want my product or whatever. One thing to keep in mind is, say, the last movie that you went to see or you saw at home or whatever. Last movie, okay? Get it in your mind. What was it? Did you like it? Were you lukewarm about it? Did you hate it? I guarantee you, whether you liked it, were lukewarm about it, or hated it, that not everybody in the world feels this way. Think about the best food you've ever eaten. Your favorite dish. Mine's lobster. Oh my gosh, I'm a lobster fiend. I can't be stopped when it comes to lobster, but there's people who hate it, who absolutely hate it. You can think about, say, Mozart, who is a genius. His music is so inspiring and layered and beautiful. There's people who hate Mozart's music. You see what I'm saying? Like Picasso. People who are like, I don't get it. And there's people like, oh my gosh, I live and breathe for Picasso, right? So there is no such thing as having an audience that is everybody. And that's one thing that is good to understand at the beginning, because then you can just express who you are. Because if you can accept that you have a certain group of people who will love what you do, a certain group of people who will be lukewarm to what you do, and another group of people who are gonna hate what you do, it's kind of freeing in a way, because you know who you are talking to and who you aren't talking to. And that can free up all sorts of parts of your personality. And I'm sure you've seen, like, from all different genres of the arts where people water down the content and make it so they hope everyone will like it and it just feels like a carbon copy of everything else that's out there, versus somebody who really took a risk and did something that was unique and different and had a voice, right? So, for example, I wrote a stage play and I have taken it to Montreal, Toronto, and New York City. And I would say about 97% of the reviews that I got were very glowing, very positive, fantastic reviews. Our audiences have been amazing, standing ovations and all that fun stuff. People come to see the play 2 or 3 times. Anyhow, it's really cool, fun stuff. I wrote this play with a very specific type of person in mind. I knew how I wanted that person to feel at the end of the play, and I did everything I could to put them on a real roller coaster of a journey that would end with them feeling like they could go out and change the world, like they could go out, they had to go and take action in their lives. It was great when the feedback came back and it was so positive. However, for our Toronto run, there was one reviewer who hated the play, and she hated me. She hated everything about the production. She started it with, I hate women's theater. And it just went downhill from there. And for me, I felt so crazy. I was obsessing over this one review of like, why didn't she get it? Why didn't she get it? I don't understand. I wrote the heck out of this piece. And eventually I had to come to understand that, you know what? You wrote this piece. It's a statement piece. Fortunately, most people, the statement was a positive one for and made them excited. But when you make a statement, sometimes people are gonna go the other way with that and they're not gonna like what you do. But the important thing to remember here is you still got to get yourself out there. You need to express your voice in your unique way. Let your tribe know who you are, what you stand for, and how you can help them. And while you might kind of go, you know, it sounds safer to just try to please everyone. Let me tell you something. When you try to please everyone, you're still not going to please everyone. So you might as well just do what feels right to you, what feels authentic to you. Be you. As they say, do you. Do you. So those were the 5 mindset shifts that help you make drool-worthy videos. A quick little recap on what you just learned. 1 is allow yourself to be vulnerable. I know it's hard. I know it ain't easy, but it's so, so freaking important to do that. 2 is to dare to be bad. Yes, fail and fail big. It's the best way to learn. 3 is comparisonitis, and really, like, let's stop doing that. Comparisonitis is such a killer of enthusiasm and passion. 4 is to live in the present moment. Focus on where you are right now in space and time. And 5 is don't try to please everyone. Be true to you. Okay, that is it for this delightful little video. What I want you to do is to go ahead and download the PDF sweet sheet below and get your homework on. And of course, head on over to the group and share some of your findings. Okay, see you in the next video and dream up.